A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. You can be seated.
If you'd please turn to page 3 of your bulletin. We're going to sing this song as a bookend of the sermon, so we'll sing it through 2 times prior to the sermon now and again afterwards.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Later in the same chapter, Jesus goes on to address his disciples further regarding the very same thing, saying to them, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is your treasure? For the man in Jesus' parable today, his treasure was found in his things, in his abundant crop and his full to bursting storehouse. The problem as it relates to us as Jesus' followers is that when we have an abundance, we're put in the risk of having the sin of greed. And this is precisely what Jesus is warning us of here in this parable, where enough is not enough, and where more is desired and possibly even hoarded, and where me, myself, and I matter more than anybody else that I might come across. Therefore, in this parable, this man actually stands as a negative example for us. If you want to know how not to be a disciple of Jesus, take a peek at this guy. We see an inward-turned man who does not consider others or God. He believes that he's able to secure his own life with his abundant possessions, and unfortunately for him, he's sadly mistaken. Now, I can say with all certainty that I've never been with anyone at the time of the end of their life who has said with deep regret, "I sure do wish I had more stuff. I sure wish that I hadn't given so much away to help other people." Death, or really any significant loss, has a way of clarifying the things that really matter in our lives. I recently had an opportunity to talk with a really lovely woman. When I arrived at her hospital room, I could see on her chart the diagnosis that she'd been given, and there's a lot more to it, but the one thing that I was able to see said failure to thrive. What in the world does that mean, I wondered? Failure to thrive. I don't speak medical language. Soon I was sitting beside her as she's in her bed. She's very matter-of-factly talking about death, how she's facing death. She knew that it would happen within just a few short weeks after having suffered with cancer for several months. She had hoped that she would be here longer. She had hoped that she would see her precious grandson grow up. She wanted to see him graduate from high school. And yet she knew that wasn't going to happen. So what does one do when one is in this place facing their own mortality? Well, this woman told me that she did as much as she could possibly do with this grandson that was so precious to her. She did projects with him. She cooked with him and baked with him his favorite things. She even made a quilt with him that was for him. This woman also told me how she had loved throughout her life to do work with her hands. She did quilting, of course, but she did a lot of other creative things too, one of the things being stained glass work. And now she had given away all of the supplies that she had collected to do these pieces of art. She wanted to not burden her husband with knowing and trying to figure out what the heck to do with this stuff, but she also wanted to see the joy in giving that to other people, she told me. This woman had taken time to sort through and give away most of her things, as a matter of fact. She wanted to save her husband and her daughter the work of it, she said, but she also wanted to make sure that they had the things of hers that she wanted, and only the things that she needed for the last few weeks of her life. You are so peaceful. She was so matter of fact. I said this out loud to the woman. Where does your peace come from? Jesus, she simply said. I pray and I can see him. Oh, I know that sounds crazy, she said. And I assured her, no, it doesn't sound crazy. I see him wearing a white robe. And that robe is very soft, she said. And she said, I tell Jesus, I'm tired. Can I just rest with you? And sometimes I rest my head on his lap. And sometimes I want to be in his arms. And sometimes his arms are full. And I say, she said to me, because there's people, he has a lot of people in his arms. And sometimes I say, can I just lay here then at your feet? And I'm enveloped in that soft white robe. And that's where my peace comes from. It's from Jesus. I cried. I'm almost crying now just telling you this. Wow, I thought to myself. Failure to thrive? Are you kidding me? No way. Now, I suppose to the standards of this worldly kingdom, it's true. Her body is, in fact, failing. There's no denying it. In this worldly kingdom, we're encouraged to constantly have more, to spend more, to be more, to use more. We even count on our appearance as a sign that we are doing great. Everything is going really well for us. Yet this woman didn't care about any of that. She only cared about her relationships. She cared about making lasting memories with her family and with Jesus and her friends. Those are the things that she cared about. Failure to thrive, maybe in this worldly kingdom, but certainly not true in the perspective of Jesus. This woman was thriving in all of the ways that are the most important. Death or any loss has a way of clarifying things that really matter. So I ask you today again, where is your treasure? What's important to you? The man in Jesus' parable found his treasure in his field, in his barn, in his wealth, in his self. The man considered it all to be his, bought by his own doing. His focus was inward rather than outward. He did not take his neighbor into account. He did not consider those who had worked for him to produce this wonderful bounty. He does nothing to consider the poor or the marginalized in his community who might not be able to produce their own crops. He did not consider the alien or the widow or the orphan, all, of course, who are loved by God. He certainly did not take God into account. However, God did consider this man. And while the man thinks he has it made, he can eat, drink, and be merry, God judges him a fool and demands his life that very night. Jesus makes clear in this parable that accumulating abundant possessions is not what establishes meaning in life. Instead, we are to be rich toward God. And this parable just sort of leaves us hanging with that. What in the world does it mean to be rich toward God? When we look around a little bit in this Gospel of Luke, we can see that. Being rich toward God might mean using one's resources to benefit one's neighbor in need, as in the Samaritan story of chapter 10. Being rich toward God might mean intentionally taking time to hear the word of God, to dwell in Jesus' presence, as Mary did in chapter 10, while her sister Martha was distracted by so many things, as Pastor Ron shared with us a couple weeks ago. Being rich toward God might entail praying and trusting God that he will indeed provide all that we need for life, as Pastor Jeff shared with us just last Sunday. Being rich toward God might involve selling all our possessions and giving to those in need, as we read in the end of this chapter of Scripture today. Life is not measured by the possessions that one has. Our very lives and all that we have, all that we are generous gifts of our gracious Father God, to be used to advance God's kingdom and to care compassionately for those who lack the resources to provide for themselves. All that we have and all that we are belong to God. We merely are stewards of these gifts that we've been given and the time that we have in this earthly kingdom. And this is good news. It is because we are God's children, given good gifts, given the gift of faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, given the gift of grace and forgiveness and salvation through the work of Christ on the cross, that our future is secure and hopeful beyond all measure. This is why Jesus tells us later in this chapter, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God literally delights in giving you these good gifts. It is God's good pleasure to do so. Dwell in that promise. Be encouraged in it and grateful for it. And now may the peace of God be in this whole community, and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.